From our studios in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, we welcome you in on this Election Day 2016 gym class here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. If you're from out of town, coming in for the state volleyball tournament, appreciate you tuning in. We hope you have a great time and leave some green cash in our fair city. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Alex Kuhn, he will be joining us coming up here in just a little bit. Alex was down in Iowa City today along with Tyler Ryder for the Kirk Ferentz News Conference. They will have audio coming up as soon as Alex gets that taken care of and put away. That'll be here in just a little bit. Again, Election Day 2016. We hope everybody out there does their civic duty and their the privilege of going out there in the democracy that we live in, Mark, and go out there and exercise your vote.
No question. I'll be doing that a little later on this afternoon or early evening, and really look forward to that. It is a privilege, and everybody should exercise that right. Now off my soapbox.
I don't think that's a soapbox. I think that's just something you should do out there.
We do have a couple.
Don't have apathy.
You know, exit polls at the state volleyball tournament, we have a couple results in the books, don't we?
We do. Earlier on today, Iowa City West and Ankeny Centennial, very good match. West High winning the first set 26-24, but then Centennial, a little bit too much athleticism. Man, they got some leapers. And a young team, too. They got a freshman that's going to be, who's already out of this world. And I think it's going to be, they're already talking, one of the top recruits around by the time her senior year rolls around. But Centennial, two-time defending state champions, they knock out Iowa City West 3-1. And the other 12 noon match that took place today, number one Cedar Falls had a little trouble with Dowling, winning 3-0. And so it'll be Cedar Falls moving on to take on the winner of the match between Linmar and Ankeny going on right now. They are in set four, getting ready to start set number four. It used to be games, Mark, and now it's sets. I don't know when that happened, but we're going to go with the vernacular that is
set and match.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's now whatever. I don't know. Anyway. Mm. Linmar leads 2-1 over Ankeny. Linmar won the first two, and Ankeny just came back to win set number three, 25-17. Linmar coming in 33-8, Ankeny at 37-5. Lions or the Hawkettes will take on Cedar Falls coming up. Also going on right now, the winner of this one will take on Ankeny Centennial. It is in set number three. West Des Moines Valley with a 2-0 lead over Dubuque Hempstead. Right now, though, Hempy with the 13-8 lead in set number three over West Des Moines Valley. So if everything holds, it would be 2-2, kind of like we thought it would when we talked with Jeff Linder last Friday in the MVC-CIML Invitational.
Indeed. Dandy matchup tonight, 6 p.m. in 4A. Marion at 34-9 takes on Metro rival Cedar Rapids Xavier, 31-9. That's on court two. At 6 p.m., the winner of that match will face Dubuque Wallert or Council Bluffs Lewis Central. Dubuque Wallert with the preeminent player in the state in
Mackenzie May. Eric May's sister, I do believe. She will be attending UCLA to play her volleyball. You can't believe how many, I was down there earlier on today, picked up the program from the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union and Jason Esslinger. White Sox fan, by the way. We commiserated about that for a while. And all of the Division One, Division Two, some Division Three, but a lot of ones and twos out there that are going to be going on to play college volleyball. This state's still one of the hotbeds as far as college volleyball is concerned.
And it's great to see those opportunities for young ladies to get. And you're right, they're sprinkled all across the area in the state, and again led by May from Dubuque Wallert. She'll be in action at 4 o'clock this afternoon on court two, prior to the Marion Xavier match.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one. They had a big crowd this afternoon for 5A. Usually, that's the one they kind of shake their head about. But kudos to Cedar Falls brought a ton of people. Linmar has a bunch of people, and they were talking about the fact, talked with a few people earlier on today representing Marion and Xavier. There are going to be a lot of people there tonight to watch that Marion-Xavier match at 6 o'clock. So make your plans to get there early. That's my best advice. out there.
Probably recording the Western Michigan game.
Row the boat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag row the boat. We're going to talk to Cal Elder. We're going to wrap up the baseball season with Cal, wrap up the World Series, and have our picks as far as the baseball awards are concerned. We'll also do our annual take a look back at how bad our picks were at the beginning of the year. That's always a lot of fun. We will do that coming up. We're also going to talk to Scott Kibbe, speaking of Iowa City schools. And Scott, of course, is the new principal at Liberty High School. They're going to be going into, into their first year of being a school next fall for the 17-18 season. We're going to find out all about what they have in store athletically. They're going to be joining the Mississippi Valley Conference. Sounds like it's going to be a 15-team league for maybe a year, and then they're looking for a 16th team, if you'd like to inquire. So there are a few options out there. But anyway, we'll talk all about that and find out what's ahead with Iowa City Liberty High School coming up.
Not going to be talking varsity football at least next year.
No. They're going to be not playing varsity football until the 18-19 season. Well, that sounds weird to say, doesn't it?
Mm.
Next year is 17-18. Yes, 18-19. The next cycle as far as the districts are concerned, that's when Liberty will get into things. And we'll let him talk about that, and we'll do that here in just a little bit. Kirk Ferentz met the media today in Iowa City, and I was at volleyball today, so I'm gonna pass that along to you. There is Iowa football news outside of the Iowa football offices today, but what did you find out interesting from Kirk Ferentz today?
Well, not a lot of terrific news or anything, but Kirk Ferentz, reading his transcript, started off saying it's a new week and a new opportunity for his football team. And the best thing any time you have a tough loss is getting back to work. I guess that would be pretty predictable for him to say. Said starting Sunday, the players got back and got to work, much like after being humiliated at Arizona State in 2004 and a couple years ago at Minnesota. On the medical front, he said a couple guys are day-to-day right now. I read that.
We all are.
Croston and Kittle, probably. All in all, he also talked about, or was asked about his memories of that great game in 1985. Kirk was an assistant at the time, and Jim Harbaugh, the Michigan coach, was the quarterback that day when Iowa beat Michigan 12-10 in the battle of number one and number two. So, again, he talked about the memories of that game. But by and large, not a great deal of
Are you shocked?
News. No.
No, I'm not either. We have a Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away. We'll do that coming up in a bit, which includes 12-pack of regular and diet Dr. Pepper, some Dr. Pepper swag, some AGYM swag. We'll do that here in just a little bit. But we're going to talk to Cal Eldred coming up here in just a moment, and we're going to wrap up the baseball season with Cal. So stay tuned. It is the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class coming your way, 1600 AM, 107.5, and 106.3 FM, KGYM.
You drove him to every practice, every game. But now he's driving to his first day of college, where the games are going to get bigger, and so are his dreams.
American Family Insurance knows protecting your dreams goes beyond the car itself.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company and its affiliates, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
Nothing quite like owning a high-end tool. Well, actually, maybe there is. How about saving up to 15% on that tool? It's the Acme Tool Sale this Friday and Saturday. Save on more than 60 of the world's best brands. Register to win a tool valued at $600. And talk shop with reps who are sure to have the best tips. Don't miss the Acme Tool Sale this Friday and Saturday. Do your best work.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flo.
Open your mind. Notice a world of insurance rates at your fingertips. Compare the rates. For when you compare, you save. And when you save, you win. Like an 8-foot-tall basketball player protecting the rim with a fire hose.
Compare Progressive direct rates with top competitors' rates for ultimate fulfillment. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm a guy who was raised by wolves, and life hasn't been easy. Wolves yell a lot, and they never take you to Pizza Hut. But since leaving the woods, I've become a bona fide hut lover. I love how the 10 any deal lets me carry out a large Pizza Hut pizza, any toppings, any recipe, just 10 bucks. Even my personal favorite, large pan meat lovers. With the wolves, I mostly just ate sticks and tree nuts because wolves are notoriously bad at sharing meat. The 10 any deal. No one out pizzas the hut.
Ask for this limited time offer. Additional charge for extra cheese and stuffed crust. Product availability, prices, and participation may vary.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, The Gym Class, KGYM.
We are back. It is 14 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Gym Class here on a Tuesday. We're going to talk with Cal Eldred coming up here in just a moment. Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away. We'll talk more about, after we talk with Cal, about the news of Iowa football today and also Big Ten news. We have the Friday games. We'll let you know about those coming up. Do you have it, Mark? You do have it. Look at you.
I'm not a pack rat, but I did save our picks from the beginning of the year in Major League Baseball.
I conveniently can't find mine, but you have them. So
let me look them over. I may not have the right year.
Let's hope not. Let's hope not. Cal Elder joins us right here for the final time this year, our baseball expert here at 315. Cal, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys today?
Doing great. Are you in good old Eastern Iowa?
Yes, I am, and loving every second of it.
What this weather? We're going to pay for this sometime, aren't we?
Yeah. About the time everybody gets out of school when we want to go on vacation.
Well, we got a World Series champion, and congratulations to the Cubs. They broke the curse, I guess. Well, somebody was going to break a curse. I don't know if it's a curse, but it's 108 years. They hadn't won. And, you know, like we talked about, Mark and I, the day after it happened, you know, we feel great for all those Cub fans out there that were long-suffering. Not the 21-year-olds out there, but the guys. And people that aren't here anymore that like the Chicago Cubs. I think that's what made the story neat.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you got to congratulate the Chicago Cubs, the organization, the young players, the veteran players, their front office, their fans, too, who hung in there. And obviously, you guys know, we saw people that were donating Cub paraphernalia, hats, shirts, jerseys. And we didn't even know they were Cub fans. But you know what? That's kind of what goes on in sports. And, you know, I know, Mark, you said something about predictions. And the Cubs are the only thing, and I know people in Eastern Iowa – are going to enjoy this. The only thing that I may have gotten right, with the exception of my World Series pick at the end, I am a pack rat, and they started the year out 14-5, and I had them as the number one team in the top five.
Yep. Just talking about that, I remember my pick. I believe, Mark, you have your pick. What was your World Series pick?
My World Series pick was Toronto and the Cubs.
So you, kudos to you. Forgetting that, I did not have either of the combatants in the World Series. I believe I had the Red Sox and the Dodgers, thinking back on it. And I'm not sure who Cal had. But do you have it in front of you, Cal?
I do not. I don't have who I started out with, and that's probably a good thing.
Probably a good thing. I know that I had the Cubs in the playoffs. I did have the Cardinals. I know I had Pittsburgh not making it, so I did come up with that, and I believe I did hit the Nationals and the Dodgers and the Giants. So I did pretty well in the National League. I did not do quite as well in the American League because I believe... No, I think I did have the Rangers. I had the Rangers in there, but I did not have Cleveland anywhere close to the playoffs.
I think the most embarrassing pick that I had was the NL West when I had Arizona over the Giants.
I had Arizona in there, too. I did. I had one of the wild cards.
I may have done the same thing, fellas.
We all bought into Arizona. Were they the most disappointing team of this past year?
I think they were. I think, I do understand that Greinke did get hurt, so there's not much you can do about that. But Shelby Miller also was back in AAA. He was an All-Star the year before. Not only that, but they started out with such high hopes, and now the manager's gone, the general manager's gone, many people in the front office are gone, and they're basically not necessarily in a rebuilding situation. But for that new group of people coming in there, they have some good pieces. Now they got to put them together and make them work, but they still have a lot of work to do because the Giants are going to get better and the Dodgers are going to get better. I look for the Dodgers to sign Jansen back. I think they're going to pay him. So they've got a long way to go.
Our friend Ed on the text line, I'm glad for Cal's uncle Dwayne the Cubs won.
Yeah, I'm hoping, and Dwayne will know what I'm talking about. My uncle Snapper is what we call him, and he'll know what I'm talking about if he's listening. I am happy for him that his Cubs won, but I hope he loses today. He'll know what I'm talking about.
That's a political statement, right, Cal?
That's as far as I'm going with that one, gentlemen.
And I thank you for that. You don't see it doesn't happen too often that the best team in any sport, I don't care what sport it is, football, hockey, basketball, baseball, whatever the case may be, wins. It won this year. I don't think there's any doubt about it. The Cubs had the best team. They showed it on the field, and they got the job done. Even they did it in dramatic fashion, too. Not once, but twice. Going down 3-1 and then losing the lead in Game 7 of the series and then coming back with magical Ben Zobrist, the World Series MVP.
Well, and I look further back in my notes, fellas, and actually I had the Cubs the very first day. After the first 7 games, they were 6-1. They'd won 3 in a row, and I had them number one. I had a star next to Kyle Schwarber. Little did I know that I think it was maybe the next day or the following day in Arizona, he would hurt his knee.
Right.
But, and they went without him the whole year until they got to Cleveland, and he came through huge. But you guys are right. You look at this, something that about the Cubs going wire to wire, basically. But the other thing about them, and this is what players that I've played with that have played in Chicago before have said when they played there, they don't know how to win yet. The culture isn't a winning culture. And, you know, these are guys that played for the Cardinals and for other teams that had a winning culture. Well, they do now, and they have some youth that can keep this going.
Yeah, the starting lineup average age 23, 24 years old, depending on who's on the field at any given time. But, Cal, every team goes through transitions from year to year, and the Cubs are not without questions in my mind. They've already made a decision on Jason Hamill to let the 15-game winner go. What happens to Chapman? We've seen his last days in Chicago. Eventually, if not this year or next year, they're going to have to start paying some of these stars. And finally, where does Schwarber fit in next year?
Well, and Fowler. Yeah. Fowler's a free agent as well.
You know, you're right. I mean, this is the epitome, and I've found this out over the last few years, not having a uniform on anymore, that as soon as the World Series ends the next day, that night, you're thinking about, oh, my goodness, what am I doing? How am I going to put this back together? At least the two teams are. But the other organizations, they've already been at it for a month, and that's how this works. But the Cubs, he's going to have to fit in the outfield somewhere. That's where Kyle's going to have to fit. He's not going to play first base. He's not going to play third base. I don't know that he's going to be a guy they want behind the plate, but the guy hits so much. He's going to have to continue to work in left field. And I think and maybe they'll toy with him behind the plate. I'm not sure. But letting Hamels go, too, he pitched some big games for them during the regular season. He just didn't fit in the postseason roster. A lot like Shelby Miller didn't fit in the playoff roster for the St. Louis Cardinals for a couple years. So, but that doesn't mean you don't need him during the year. I think what they're thinking is Montgomery is going to slide into a starting spot, another left-hander in that rotation, and it might be the right move.
Well, if Schwarber's in the outfield, that impacts the others, obviously, in the outfield.
No question, because you've got Hayward that you got to get into the outfield. It starts to and Bryant plays out there at times. It becomes a little crowded. I don't know where they're at or how much they really like Coughlin. So they've got some questions they have to answer. And the thing is that when your shortstop hits like he hits, when your second baseman Baez hits like he does. But that's playing those guys every day. And so now you've got to play Zobrist out there. If you've got Schwarber and Zobrist and you've got to mix those guys in, man, I'm going to tell you, your defense isn't great. That's another – you've got to have Jason Hayward out there. If they went and got a center fielder that could go get him, once again, you brought him up, Scott, Fowler, you know, now you got to mix and match again. But I think Zobrist is a guy, even though they paid him a lot of money, they've got to give him days off because he's getting a little bit older.
Well, how can – you got guys – I mean, the Cubs have a very magical dichotomy here. You got so many young guys, but you got Zobrist, who's, you know, in his 30s, late 30s. You got a couple pitchers that are approaching 40 now, throwing well with Lester and Lackey. It's going to be interesting. Do they keep Fowler? Do they let him go? Do they move Hayward then to center field? Everyone's talking about how great the Cub defense is. They were. I just looked it up. They were ninth in the National League in tied for ninth in defense fielding percentage. It's going to be interesting. I think the Hayward's got to play center field for them next year.
Yeah, I think that's probably where you're going to go, especially if I would say that, but they're also cringing because of his struggles offensively. But when you have a Schwarber, a Zobrist, a Bryant, a shortstop and second baseman that hit like they do, Rizzo that hits like he does, that alleviates a lot of that.
Well,
so you can have a guy who, like Hayward, even though you know they may think they completely overpaid for him, but you can put him in center field and he fits in that lineup. You don't have to worry about it as much because you're going to make up for it someplace else.
You have to play him, though. You're paying him that money. You have to play him. I think he's in a center. I think Zobrist goes to right. I think Soler's the odd man out right now as
I
far as
so
this
too.
Team.
But see, that puts them in a position, once again, to be able to get to the trade deadline or before and make a move that they need to make. They can stay who they are with the group of players that they have now and push through, and they should be able to be towards the top, if not winning that. They're going to be the favorites in the Central Division and the National League. And so they can do that. Now they can or ask themselves in this offseason, do they trade Soler? You know, is there somebody out there that becomes a starting pitching that's a younger guy that they can go out and get? They have pieces still in their minor league system that they can use for that, too. They're set up pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
What becomes of Aroldis Chapman?
There's a lot of people saying that he's going to go back to the Yankees, and I'm not necessarily sold on that. I mean, I can see it happening. It just, if I knew enough more people that knew him and knew where he was comfortable, I know he lives in Florida, but I think that this whole episode with the Cubs, I don't see him giving anybody a hometown discount at this point. And so, you look at Kenley Jansen and Aroldis Chapman closes out there. Melanson, I'm telling you what, Melanson's a lot better, guys, than people give him credit for.
Oh, yeah.
That was a bad move, Pittsburgh getting rid of him. But they got something for him. They didn't make the playoffs. It looks good now. But Aroldis Chapman, he's going to have to go to one of these huge markets. I think it's either Chicago or New York. I don't see him going anyplace else.
Couple points on the text line, Cal. 91-21 and 67-60 bring up Albert Almora Jr. as well in that outfield mix.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's a guy that he does bring that defense. So now you're Joe Maddon and you're going, okay, you got Almora Jr. and you're thinking, wow, now Solar is expendable. And so that's where you go out and get that extra pitching. So with him in the mix, and that was a player I'm glad somebody mentioned, somebody I forgot about, he's a very good defender. And so with him in the mix, they what the Cubs are able to do is they can afford a bench because to have a good bench, and that's how you win in the National League.
This is a point I don't necessarily agree with. 67-33, got to trade Baez while he's hot. Get a boatload of talent for him, a lot of replacements to fill second base.
Well, and you know, as I watch the playoffs and watch him throughout the year, I saw this kid in AAA last year, and I was there when he hurt his thumb, I think it was, and you know, you could see that he was trying, going through the situation of dealing with and accepting what they wanted him to work on, and I think he could buy into that. But it's going to take. I'm not that worried about Baez because he's very flamboyant. He does some things that you just make you scratch your head. If they think that they can basically harness him and teach him, he could be a superstar. But I understand where this fan's coming from. they don't like all the strikeouts. They don't like the fact that he swings at a ball in the left-hand batter's box at times. But you know what? He gives you great defense, and when he's hot, he's hot. Reminds you a little bit of a guy named Sosa.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to be trying any one-handed attempts on a turn at second base anymore in the World Series, Cal.
No, I don't think so. And that's the thing, Mark. You know, this kid's learned a lot in a short period of time. And so if they think that, you know, his aptitude for learning the game and then taking it out there on the field and doing the right thing is high enough, then they're not letting him go.
There are going to be a lot of teams, I think, paying way too much for some of these Cub guys, though, and helping them out some more. I just have a feeling that's going to be the case coming up. All right, let's get to our postseason awards here. They helped us out a little bit. You can have write-in candidates, by the way. They helped us out a little bit here by whittling each of these categories down to three. I'm not necessarily sure that's a good thing or not, but they did it. I guess let's start with the most valuable players. We'll start in the National League because they are the World Series champions. They've got it down to Chris Bryant, Daniel Murphy, or Corey Seager. And I think this one is going to be a lot easier to predict than the presidential election tonight. Where's Rizzo?
Yeah. And you know what? We're going to come up with a better person.
Yeah. Well, the women will like him a lot better.
Yeah.
It's Bryant.
No question.
Let's keep this train on the track, boys.
Okay. It's got to be Bryant. Although, I think Anthony Rizzo could finish second in this thing. Maybe they couldn't have two Cubs. I don't know, but at any rate.
I agree with Scott. How about you, Mark?
Yeah, I think for the most part, I mean, Murphy and Seager had great years. Seager is probably going to be the rookie of the year. We'll get to that in a minute, but it's hard to go wrong with Chris Bryant. And I don't like this. Why do the baseball writers have to get it to three finalists in every category?
Now that's your background, Mark. You tell me, why do we do that?
I never covered a major league team, so I was never a member of the organization, but these are the same guys that have never voted anybody into the Hall of Fame 100% on the first year, so that tells you a lot right there.
Yes, it does. There's always one stick in the mud, it seems like, or 10. But I agree with Scott, though, too. You look at Rizzo's numbers, same batting average, 7 fewer homers than Bryant, and actually drove in 7 more runs. And you can argue who hits in front of who, you know, and who supports who. And we saw, you know, Rizzo being moved down to the four hole in the World Series because Bryant was hot. And so these guys are going to help each other year after year after year. But Daniel Murphy, give him his due, he hit .347, still drove in over 104 runs, 25 homers for a second baseman.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think where I go with Chris Bryant is the fact that the guy plays all over the field.
Let's keep in mind,
I'm throwing the defense in there, and that's impressive.
Let's keep in mind these finalists were selected before postseason play began.
Yes.
So everyone keep that in mind out there. American League MVP, Altuve, Betts, and Trout. Very interesting collection.
Well, I'll jump out here first, guys. And when I first started really looking at this, you know, I was leaning towards Mike Trout, but Mookie Betts, I'm going with him. You know, their offense in Boston was exceptional, but it was exceptional a lot because of him, and not just Big Poppy, not just Pedroia, but Mookie Betts had an outstanding year. And he steals bases. So does Trout. So does Altuve. This is a tough one. I can see this one be a lot of, whoever wins this is still going to get some third place votes.
You know what? You can never go wrong with Trout, and I agree with what you're saying on Betts, but my guy's Altuve.
Anybody
better at the top of a lineup than him.
Yeah, he's hard to argue with. You look at the number of doubles, he still drove in almost 100 runs. You know, he hit 20 points better than either one of these guys. So that's what I'm saying. This was going to be tough to pick.
He's a rich man's Dustin Pedroia, I think.
Altuve kept the Astros above water this year and almost got him into the playoffs. That's my reasoning, and I think he's the most dynamic guy in baseball. I just love Jose Altuve. Cal Elder joining us at 3:33. Let's move on to the Cy Youngs. National League, you have two Cubs. You have John Lester. By the way, I want to ask you this. This is completely, and we don't have to spend a lot of time on this. why do the Cub pitchers get to talk to the umpires and give them looks and all this and no other teams do?
Man, I don't know.
Did you get away with that?
I tried to never make eye contact with umpires. I just never thought that there was any benefit to having a conversation back and forth with an umpire. Yes, some people are going to argue with me, tell me I'm wrong, because they're going to go, well, if you're a nice guy, then, you know, you're going to get calls. And I'm like, I don't want to be known as a nice guy when I'm pitching in a big league game. I really don't. So I don't know why that happens. I don't understand it. But I will say that everybody knows John Lackey is going to look and stare and not be happy. But I don't know. I mean, I thought Lester pushed the envelope at times. And I think at times he was justified. But then to be able to go and have that conversation and then to get a call later in the game, that's what's tough. I thought game six, the dropped fly ball and then the 1-0 pitch to Naquin turned that game.
Yeah,
and that turned that game because they could just keep pumping in fastballs. So, but for this, guys, I guess that's how I feel about that. But the Cub pitchers, man, they're good.
Joe West wasn't having any fun from Pedro Strop though.
Absolutely, I'll defend Pedro Strop there. What Joe West did to him, that's embarrassing to the game of baseball. There's other umpires that are going, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Because he did miss some pitches. There's no question. And it's you got the intensity of that game. You got to let the player, you got to let him play out. Let him show a little bit more emotion, no question, the pitcher or hitter in the batter's box. He wanted to have nothing to do with that. And what the cameras didn't really show the whole thing. He was waving Strope back into the dugout. So there's no place for that in the game.
No, I agree with that. Kyle Hendricks, John Lester, Max Scherzer. I'm going with Hendricks. I've said it all year. I think he was the best pitcher in the National League this year. You guys, who do you like?
You know what? It's hard to go wrong with any of the three. If you need to win one game, I'm going to pick Scherzer. Does that make him the most viable or the Cy Young Award winner? I don't know. But which one of these three would not have been as good if he were not on a particular team? I'm going to say Lester.
Cal?
Yeah, it's tough. So you're going for Lester?
Yep.
Mark?
Yep.
I'm going Kyle Hendricks. What he is able to do with his stuff and the batting average against with him, .207. He's fourth in the league. And three or fewer runs in 22 consecutive starts. That is domination. And I know his record 16-8, lowest ERA. He still manages to strike people out. And so I honestly believe that if Joe Maddon would have left him in, he probably completes that game.
Mm.
I really do. I think he was completely locked in when Joe Maddon took him out of that game.
Yeah.
And I think Joe Maddon panicked at that point in time, but I'm going with Kyle Hendricks.
American League Cy Young, and again, the nominees are before the postseason, Kluber, Porcello, and Verlander. Porcello won 22 games, I think, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And yeah. I think he was a big part of the reason Boston got to where it is. So I'm going Porcello.
I'm going Porcello, too. I'm going Porcello.
And I'm going Porcello because you're right, Mark. They needed starting pitching going into this year. That was their big question. And he filled that gap for them, no question at all.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Let's move on, finally, to the rookies of the year in the National League. Kenta Maeda of the Dodgers. Now, again, this was before he didn't have a really good postseason. Corey Seager of the Dodgers and Trey Turner of the Nationals. Do we even need to discuss this one? It's Corey Seager.
Yeah, it is Corey Seager, no question.
American League rookie Michael Fulmer from Detroit, Taylor Naquin from Cleveland, Gary Sanchez from the Yankees.
Guys, I got to be honest. I had a tough time with this one.
This was the toughest.
And I could go either way. And I know you guys are thinking I'm going Michael Fulmer, no question. But, you know, he's what Sanchez did for the Yankees, I think, actually kept them in it.
I agree.
And you look at what he's done. And the other thing, if he hits 20 home runs and has 42 RBIs in 51 games, and he's hitting 220, I get it. This kid hit almost 300. He hit 296, and he's catching. So I'm going with Gary Sanchez.
I am too. He only played, I think, 53 games or so, but he was dynamic for the Yankees. And no one thought the Yankees, they thought when they traded the relief pitchers, they were out of this thing. And they brought up some kids, and Sanchez came in there, and he really, really did a great job. It's not his fault he only played in 53 games. He still, I think, was the best rookie in the American League.
I will make it three, and I think really wish Buxton or Sano would have been in the mix, but they weren't.
Hey, you know, Mark, as I'm looking at this too, I know a guy that had 100 innings pitched in the big leagues, was 11-2 with a 1.8 and got third in Rookie of the Year voting. So,
Who might that have been?
It was a long, long time ago.
Well, Cal, we appreciate it. We'll talk again during the hot stove, probably a couple times before spring training gets underway. But it was a great year in baseball. A lot of people are going to remember 2016. And the best thing about it was just seeing the numbers of people watching and listening to baseball again. That is what I'm going to take from 2016.
Yeah, and when you say that, Scott, I mean, that honestly, I do love the game, and I love it at the highest level. And that, you know, knowing what you just said and knowing that people, and you saw people enthused about the game that you may didn't even know were fans, and it's not just because of the Cubs. There were a lot of great things that happened this year, and that kind of stuff gives me goosebumps and looking forward to next year.
Real quick, Cal, is it Madden and Francona managers of the year?
I think so. That's who I picked. I think you look at Madden and the pieces that he moved around consistently. It seemed like he always had Bryant playing where he should or Zobrist playing where he should. The lineup matched up the right way. And Terry Francona got to the World Series without two of his starters.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think if they have their two starters, they win the World Series. They can shut down an offense.
Cal, appreciate it. We will let you get to the off season, and again, it was great talking baseball with you throughout the year, and we will see you throughout the winter.
Look forward to it, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Cal.
Cal Eldred at 341 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Volleyball, we got an update you on volleyball. There's some weird things happening going on downtown. Valley has just knocked off Hempstead 3-1. They win 25-15. But the bigger story is what is happening with the Linmar Lions. Last we talked, Linmar had won the first two. We just started the program, and Ankeny had won set three. Well, they tore through set four and now have a 10-4 lead in set five right now. Make it 11-4 lead in set number five. This is going to be a bitter pill to swallow if Linmar can't turn this thing around real quickly.
Exactly. You get up 2-0 and you think you got it in the bag, but not so fast, says Ankeny.
Yeah. So that is what's going on at the U.S. Cellular Center. All right. I saw Alex come in. I think we'll get him back in here. And we're going to talk to Scott Kibbe coming up here in just a moment. Do want to have our Dr. Pepper prize pack giveaway going on right now. We have a 12-pack of regular Dr. Pepper, a 12-pack of Diet Dr. Pepper to give away, and we will do that coming up here right now. We're going to take caller number 5 at 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600, caller number 5. You are going to get our Dr. Pepper prize pack. We'll come back. We're going to find out about Iowa City Liberty, the Lightning, Mark. You knew that, didn't you?
I did.
All right. To talk
they have
about
purple
that.
In their colors, don't
they? They do.
Yeah.
Purple, black, and silver, I do believe. We're going to talk about that when we come back here in the Gym Class on KGYM.
Sometimes kickoff comes early. At Hampton by Hilton, that's when they run the option. Take your pick of free hot breakfast in the hotel or breakfast on the run bags to go. Either way, you'll be fueled up to cheer on your team because on game day, tailgate waits for no fan. So follow your favorite college football team on the road all season long. With Hampton by Hilton's friendly, helpful people at over 2,000 locations, you've got a winning combination for a memorable season. Book your football getaway today at Hampton.com for a guaranteed discount.
Chemical-resistant gloves, coveralls, earplugs, Grainger. Dust masks, portable eyewash stations, hard hats, Grainger. Anti-fog safety glasses, fall protection harnesses, face shields, Grainger. Respirators, welding jackets, pipe repair systems, Grainger, Grainger, Grainger. Protection blankets, steel toe boots, caution signs, Grainger. They've got over 100,000 safety products. When you think safety, think Grainger. When it comes to safety, Grainger's got your back. Call, clicksafety.grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, and welcome to Elf Training 101. Today, we'll be learning about decorating Santa's castle.
Ooh, I love this stuff. Come on, let's put up the light to get the big striped North Pole sign up on the roof.
Now, just a minute, Jingle. There are a few things we need to learn before we decorate.
Like how to string popcorn?
No, like safety procedures.
Safety? What?
Just like Linn County REC taught us. For example, we always check our lights to be sure they have a UL safety certification.
Got it. I'm going to go get the hammer to get started.
And we never use metal staples or nails because that can damage the insulation on the wires.
Oh.
And when we put the North Pole sign on the roof, we make sure it's clear of overhead power lines.
Huh.
You see, safety is a big part of holiday decorating.
I guess I've got a lot to learn.
For homework, go to LynnCountyREC.com and get all the info.
Okay, is toy making next?
Next, we study elf fashions throughout the decades.
Power up safely this holiday season with help from Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
This is Sarah.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Sarah was looking for a job, but wanted to stay local.
That's right.
First, she built a giant satellite, then launched it into space to send a signal transmitting her resume. This did not lend Sarah a job, but it did start a war with the Zarkon Nebula.
I went too far.
Yes, Sarah went too far. But you don't have to go too far to go far. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com only posts local jobs, so employers are way more likely to respond to your application and offer you a job. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. KGYM.
Back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM at 3:46. We're going to check in with Scott Gibby coming up here in just a little bit. Congratulations to Keith from Raymond. He is the winner of our Dr. Pepper prize pack, Mark.
Is that Raymond from Keith or Keith from Raymond?
Keith from Raymond, okay. Up there in the Waterloo area. And we congratulate him and hope he enjoys his Dr. Pepper.
Absolutely, Keith. Thanks to Lady J from Z102.9 for fielding a couple calls there. Really appreciate that. Great teamwork here.
It is great teamwork. Man, we couldn't do it without him. So we're going to talk to Scott Kibbe, and we'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. Valley has beaten Hempstead. Linmar is in big trouble right now at the state volleyball tournament as they are down, I believe, to a match point. It's only to 15 in that fifth set.
That's
as you know, Mark, from your volleyball experience of watching in the stands this year, 15 in that fifth set.
I've actually covered the state tournament with Jeff Linder.
No, Ankeny has now won it. I beg your pardon. Okay. Ankeny has now won it all the way back from down 2-0. They come back to win the third, fourth, and fifth set, 15-7 in the fifth set. So that's going to be a tough pill to swallow for the Linmar Lions. So it's Cedar Falls against the CIML right now.
That's a crusher right there for Linmar, but a great season. I know that's no consolation at this point, but while we wait for Scott Kibbe to join us, the Big Ten has announced the 2017 Friday night primetime schedule, and Iowa is not involved for 2017. Here's your schedule for next season. Friday night games on September 1st, brace yourself, Washington at Rutgers, and also on the 1st, Utah State at Wisconsin. September 8th, the game is Ohio U at Purdue. Yes, Ohio U at Purdue. September 29th, Nebraska at Illinois. Not so bad. October 13th, Northwestern at Maryland. And the final Friday night game next year, on my birthday, October 27th, Michigan State at Northwestern. So again, Iowa will not be involved in the Friday night rotation, at least for 2017. We do have a poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. It goes like this. What are your thoughts on Iowa not having a Friday night home game next season? Three choices, very happy, couldn't care less, or disappointed.
Did I get that right? Couldn't care less? That couldn't is correct.
Care. Could not care less. You got
okay.
that correct, yes.
Thank you. Very good.
Contractions are you.
Well, you know what this tells me, Mark Dukes, is this. If Iowa is not playing next year, the most attractive game that Iowa had was that particular ball game with Wyoming coming up. Now, the official Hawkeye website has only the Big Ten games listed in 2018 and 2019, but I did hear, I believe in 2018, Iowa opens up with Northern Illinois, and in 2019, I think it's a MAC school. Don't quote me on that, but I know one of them is Northern Illinois. So that tells me, from what Gary Barta told, and that was the fact that Iowa probably will do this once every 3 years, it tells me that 2018, get ready for a Friday night Labor Day weekend game against Northern Illinois, if that is the case.
2018, right now, scheduled game, Saturday, September 1st, Northern Illinois
yep.
at Iowa, followed by Iowa State at Kinnick, September 15th, UNI at Kinnick. Iowa opens the 2018 season with four straight home games before a bye week.
Mm-hmm. So,
but yeah. one recruit, potential recruit, will not be a part of that season, right?
That is correct.
At least two recruits now, I guess. Eno Benjamin has decided to reopen his recruitment, and now a second player, a member of that 2017 class, has said he is going to reopen his recruitment.
Yeah, thanks, but no thanks. Jevin Callaway is a four-star defensive back, and there was speculation about this when Eno Benjamin decommitted, if you will. And this is why, and it's not Iowa, it's not Iowa State, it's not anybody out there. It's all through college athletics. These kids go to these camps when they're freshmen and sophomores and become enamored with the bright lights and et cetera, and they make their commitment way too early. And then you get a fan base all riled up, and then you get into the hate mode once this all starts. And that's what Iowa's going through right now. And it's also the flavor du jour of the day. Listen, Callaway put down now that he's considering Colorado. I guarantee you 2 years ago, Colorado was not on his radar when Colorado was going through 3 and 4 win seasons.
Barely on the major college football radar.
Absolutely. And now they're winning, and they're cool. So, and Iowa's not winning. They're not quite as cool. So there's your situation.
These guys were locked up, or apparently so, during a 12-0 season. Iowa trying to hit while the fire is most warm. And to ask a sophomore in high school to stick with a commitment 2 years after he has made one, or a year after he's made one, I think is asking a lot. Some people would say that these players are going back on their word or what have you, but the whole recruiting process is really kind of whack.
It's flawed.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is there a perfect way to do this, though? I don't think there's a perfect way to get this done, but I think there are better ways to do it. And I know Kirk Ferentz is an advocate of an early signing period. Well, yes, because Kirk has said once you commit to Iowa, you can't go off and visit other schools, etc., which doesn't really appeal to a lot of these kids. And obviously it didn't to these two. So, you know, what can you do about it? What can you do about it?
Yeah, you can't throw the kids under the bus.
No.
There's no question about that. So
they haven't even played for you.
No.
They won't play for you.
You move on and try to get the next best player out there. 11:69, I hear your point, but this is more about Ferentz's policy about no visits after a verbal commitment.
He's not the only one to do that, though.
From what I heard on the APC is that Iowa parted way with Eno. Yeah, we've been down that road with Eno Benjamin and the whole policy. And I, as I said before, I think it's hypocritical because if Kirk Ferentz doesn't want to recruit a committed recruit to visit another school, then Iowa should not continue to recruit a player who's committed to another school. And Iowa doesn't do that. I don't blame them for not doing that, for doing that. But it's hypocritical in my mind.
Yeah. And like I said, there's no perfect solution to this recruiting process. And I don't, it would a earlier signing period help out? Then you're going to have kids signing way too early.
I'm not sure that's a good idea.
I don't think that's a good idea either. So I don't know. Maybe the coaching association will get together, come up with a plan, but the NCAA won't like the plan.
I mean, I was never in that position as a father to have my son or daughter being recruited as a freshman or sophomore by major college. Looking back, they weren't mature enough to make that decision.
No, absolutely. And
I mean, they're bright kids, but they weren't mature enough to make a decision that's going to affect them for the next 5 to 6 years of their life.
And let's face it, there are a lot of people that are steering a lot of kids in different directions and probably not good directions, especially when you take a look at basketball. Over the years, you got your posse around you, basically telling you it's not so bad now. I think it's gotten better, but you still have
basketball's the worst.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But football is getting to a point now where you're seeing the same things that happened with basketball. You don't have a D league in football though, and yeah. You got to stick around for 3 years as far as football is concerned. But
fortunately, we're going to have to reschedule with Scott Kibbe from Iowa City Liberty. The principal down there, I think he's got an interesting story to tell. And as they open up that school next fall with an abbreviated schedule of sports, varsity football not included, but we'll get Scott.
And they got to find coaches,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So we wanted to talk with him about
14:55. Have they released a game time for the Nebraska game this year?
No.
Nor has the Illinois game been decided. Big Ten has exercised what's known as its 6-day window.
Yeah.
Those game times come out Monday, I believe.
That would be correct.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, because that is the 6 days away from the Illinois game. I got a feeling it's probably going to be an 11 o'clock
game. I'd be shocked
game.
If it isn't, yeah.
That would be
both.
My
For both
guess.
Games, I think.
Yes, I think Iowa-Nebraska is probably going to be an early game, but you never know how that will play out. APC is coming your way next, and they have hairball tickets. Rock and roll will never die, and that, of course, is the mantra of hairball. They're more than just a band and certainly more than a tribute band. The APC will have your shot at free tickets coming up later on today. For more information, you can go to kgymradio.com, and for tickets, go to ticketmaster.com or just stop by the U.S. Cellular Center box office or the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena box office.
State volleyball tournament continues tonight in Marion and Xavier at 6 p.m. And then again, more first-round matches tomorrow.
Yeah. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we will talk to Chris Liss of rotowire.com. And we're also going to talk Michigan football coming up tomorrow. Looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun as we preview Iowa and Michigan.
Did I see the APC has Barry Alvarez on Wednesday?
I believe that is correct.
I'll be darned.
So they'll talk to Barry Alvarez.
Well, we'll have BNA report tomorrow as well. They can have Barry Alvarez. We'll have the Bowling Night in America report.
There you go. All right. Hope you enjoyed it. APC coming your way next here on KGYM. Have a great night. Get out and vote.
Now with your American Express card, it's extra special to shop small at local stores because today you can earn even more rewards. Now through December 31st, eligible American Express card members